God. Welcome, everyone, to that river of anointing coming to you this day live from our studio here in Clearwater, Florida. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are a global ministry around the world. So wherever you are listening to us from today, we welcome you. We know we have listeners in several states and more than likely some other countries. So we are glad that you are joining us no matter where you are. You know, you might be in one of those cold, snowy, blowy areas of the United States today, and there are some of those, but we are here in beautiful Clearwater, and I'm not trying to rub it in, but let me tell you, it's a gorgeous day. It is really pretty, and for most of my drive from my home to the radio station, I drive along the Intercoastal Waterway right on the water. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing like it. It is gorgeous. The ships are out today. The sailboats are. The water is beautiful. The sun is shining. And whether or not you're living in a bad weather day or a beautiful day, it's always beautiful when we know that we have God and right there with us no matter what we're going through. He is right there. He never leaves us. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't walk away from us. He is right there with us. So whether it's sunny where you are or rainy today or cloudy or blowing snow, God is there. He is right there. This is a great day. We're excited about this show today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and my first guest, Connie, is going to be on the air with me right now. Are you there, Con?
I'm here.
All right. You were scheduled to be in the studio with me today, but we had a late service, didn't we? We had a lot going on at Beacon of Hope today.
And yeah, it was a great day.
Well, and I heard you ate a lot of arroz con pollo, right? Some rice and chicken, right? Wow, was that good cooking today, I'll tell you. We do that at Beacon every few weeks. We have what we call family dinner day. And you brought some great frijoles, and it was Cuban day, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was
a lot
great.
Of garlic going on.
A lot of garlic. It was gorgeous. It was wonderful. Good food. Good food. And, Connie, we were just talking about, you know, that God's with us no matter what's going on in our lives. And, you know, there's some people that are going through some very hard times right now. Did you want to comment on that at all? And
well, you know, it's hard. It's hard to thank Him, praise Him when things are bad.
Right. Yes.
And I don't really know what the key is or how to get somebody to understand that that's the way to do it. But just do it. Just try it.
It works, doesn't it? Praising God, regardless. In fact, one of our people spoke up in our outreach meeting today that we had during lunch and was talking about learning that very fact of praising God and thanking Him for the answers before we see them. And you've practiced that in your life, Connie Farmer. I know you have. I've seen you do it. You didn't always. So were there times in your life, Connie, where you didn't understand that and understand that God wants to be praised and blessed regardless?
Yeah, I think that I mean, I always knew about the praise and worship, and but as far as like thanking him before you got the blessing, believe it before you see it.
Right.
Kind of like the reverse of the doubting Thomas.
Right.
You know, he didn't believe that it was Jesus until he saw the nail prints.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. But God wants us to praise Him, thank Him. Tell Him how grateful we are before we see the manifestation here in this earthly plane, you know, because it's a testimony when we can do that and say, God, thank you. I know you heard my prayer. And Connie, today we're going on with our series on how to get your prayers answered. And, you know, there's a lot of people out probably listening today that are frustrated maybe with God or frustrated with their walk with God because they don't see the answers that they think they want to see as quickly as they want to see them, perhaps, or in the way that they want them to manifest. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, or, you know, you can't figure out why you can't. A lot of people say, I can't figure out why I can't catch a break.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Why can't, you know, all these people are doing things not quite on the up and up, or maybe doing bad things to me, but yet they're getting off scot-free.
Right.
And why can't I at least catch a break?
Exactly. Yes. And that's, that feeling, what does that do to you, though?
Well, it causes a deeper and deeper depression.
Right. Yes. And causes you to think that, okay, you know, God's really not, he doesn't care about what's going on in my life, you know?
He might care about you, but he doesn't care about me.
Right. Exactly. And don't you think, Connie, that's more of a prevalent feeling among people than people like to comment on or own up to, maybe, you know?
Yes. Yes. Nobody wants, you know, depression is a bad word.
Right.
And some people don't even recognize what they're feeling is depression.
Exactly.
They may just want to sleep, or they're tired all the time, or they're, you know, sick maybe even from being so worn down.
Right.
And beaten down.
Absolutely. And go ahead.
Well, you know, just other symptoms mask,
yes,
some of those traditional symptoms of depression.
Right. And that's, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think a lot of people do go through life with struggling with depression and not realizing that they can be set free from that, you know, that God has answers for that. I was reading in Psalm 40 this week, and Psalm 42, and David was going through a dark time, you know, and he was feeling so helpless and hopeless, you know, and he, mm-hmm. and he cried out to God, and then he talks about how God brought him up out of the miry clay. Remember when we were talking about that recently, Connie? Miry clay, what is that? And it's just those times of feeling all bogged down, you know, by depression or by our circumstances, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, too, when you read those Psalms, all those words that David had.
Right.
Even though he wasn't formally trained or educated, you know,
right.
really. He was a shepherd boy.
Yes.
And the words that he uses, I realized that it was written in Hebrew, but the translation, the words that he chose to write them in, you know, and how soothing they are to all
yes.
of us nowadays.
Oh, absolutely.
Anybody who reads it.
And the Psalms are fantastic. In fact, today we're going to talk out of the Psalms. And if you have your Bible, go to Psalm 34 and get ready in a moment. And Connie, tell us about this first song you chose. It's called Aware by Salvador. Can you tell us about that song?
We've used it before.
I remember.
It talks about, you know, make me aware, make me see that everything's not all about me.
Ah,
but
okay.
There's some things in there, too, that it's making us aware of God's presence.
Okay.
I was listening to it again today and on my way to church, and I was hearing it from a different perspective. So I think there's a bunch of different perspectives of this song, but it's beautiful.
Okay, let's hear it.
Never seemed too big to me, and the things I thought didn't matter much at all. As simple as my daily bread, to the strength I need to get out of bed, when I fly or when I'm about to fall. Oh, it's you and me that I fail to see. Hanging from a thread,
And I think about the things you said that in this moment seem so far away. Help me see the guarantees that first brought me to believe, so I can make it through another day. Oh, it's you. It's not all about me. Take my word.
Wow, that's a great song, Connie. I like that. Mm-hmm. I had forgotten that. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Make me aware. Help me see that everything everything is not all about me, right?
Right.
Wow. I think that's great. And so often we don't see that. I mean, in this series that we're talking about today, and we're going on with it, how to get our prayers answered, point one in this series, in this talk, is preparation. And we kind of, you and I talked about it last week, Connie, preparing our hearts to receive. And don't you think this is one of the big aspects of that, Connie, this awareness?
Yes, making aware that there's other things that, there's more things to worry about in life than just what you get and what you want.
Right.
Or what you think you want.
But, you know, it reminds me of a small child. You know, a small child, it's all about them. You know, their whole world revolves around them, you know. I love those E-Trade babies. Do you see those commercials, Connie?
Yes.
I love those E-Trade babies. They're so cool, you know, but they kind of say it the way it is, you know. And sometimes, you know, we're kind of like babies, you know. It's like, it's all about me, you know. Okay, God, why haven't you done this for me? Why haven't you done that for me? And, you know, what's going on here, God? And, you know, we aren't aware so often of the needs around us. In fact, our outreach meeting today during lunch at Beacon of Hope was entitled Reach Out with Jesus, because so often we don't reach out because we are so into it all ourselves, into ourselves. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. We just get so bogged down with day-to-day life that we don't even live it, really.
Right. Right.
You're just going through the motions.
We try to get out of one mess and then we find ourselves in another one, right?
Right. Right, that's it.
Well, go with me to Psalm 34, and let's start with verse 17 a moment. And I like this in the Message Bible because so often this is how we feel. Psalm 34, 17 says, "Is anyone crying for help?" And then listen to this part. "God is listening, ready to rescue you." Is anyone crying for help? God is listening, ready to rescue you. You know, I do real estate, and I've got two or three or four, actually, Coast Guard buyers right now. And I love talking to my guys. I mean, they're really cool because they tell me about things that go on, you know, out there and in the water and the rescues. And they were a part of that rescue a year ago with those football players. You remember all that kind of?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I just that whole thing that their lives are given, these young men, to this rescue process, you know, and how they take it so seriously. And I love this verse: "Is anyone crying for help? God is listening, ready to rescue you." He's got, God's got you on his radar, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sitting in the helicopter waiting.
Sitting in the helicopter waiting. You know, it's like the Coast Guard. If you've ever been out, you know, in the water, in the beach or whatever, Coast Guard around, their little boats, you know, up and down. There's helicopters. Mm-hmm. They're watching. They're ready for that need. And they're going to. And I think we should picture God like that, Connie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God, God wants
time
go ahead.
For people to get a new image of God.
Okay.
And just get a whole fresh approach.
Okay.
You know, just open your heart, open your mind, and just let go of your past stuff.
Yes.
What you think he's about, and just relax and enjoy him.
That's huge, what you're saying right now, and because that means a shift in the way we perceive God. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think so many of us, not us, but there's so many people who think that he's out there waiting with a sledgehammer to knock you in the head if you
right.
don't do something right,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, or he's, you know, God will get you for this, or, you know, it's just, that stuff's old news.
It's a mindset that's got to change. In fact, when Michelle Cardinal was preaching this morning at Beacon, she said, "The days of fire and brimstone are over. Let's start working. Mm-hmm. Let's start talking about God's grace and his love." Look at verse 18 of Psalm 34. If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the gut, he'll help you catch your breath. I love that.
Cool.
Woo. Have you ever been kicked in the gut in sports, you know? Many years back, Connie, when I was playing baseball and all that stuff, when you get, you know, when you're playing sports and you get kicked in the gut, it doesn't feel good. You lose your breath, you know, it knocks the wind right out of you, you know?
Yeah.
And so let's read this verse again, verse 18 of Psalm 34. David wrote this: if your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. I want your comment on this in a minute, Connie. If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the gut, he'll help you catch your breath. Ha-ha, I love it. Isn't that great?
Yes.
And going on to the next verse, disciples so often get into trouble. Still, God is there every time. Now, I mean, when we walk with the Lord, we don't say life is totally perfect and we're never going to get into trouble. We're never going to get into a difficult situation, do we?
No, he's just with us.
Say it again. We lost you.
He's just with us in our times of need.
Right.
We have him as an extra weapon.
He is our weapon, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so disciples so often get into trouble. Still, God is there every time. Let's go over to verse 1 of Psalm 34 a moment. And do you have the NIV in front of you, Connie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why don't you read verses 1 through 4 in Psalm 34 in your NIV.
Okay. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears.
Oh, I love those verses. I love those verses. Let's break it down a little bit in the Message Bible. Do you have that, too, in front of you?
Yes.
Okay, just read verse 1 in the Message Bible.
I bless God every chance I get. My lungs expand with his praise.
Wow. I bless God every chance I get. When can we be blessing God and how? How do we
all
bless God? How do we do that, Connie? What is he talking about here?
Well, just thanking him for everything, thanking him, praising him, thanking him for loving us, thanking him for keeping us out of the wreck we almost got into.
Right.
Or,
yeah.
I mean, sometimes it's catastrophic type things that we just barely miss, or sometimes it's just simple things. Thanks for the birds that are singing today. Thanks for the sound of the train down the way.
Right.
You know, sounds and... It's amazing if you just take a minute what things you can see, hear, smell that are from him that we take for granted.
Absolutely. And And the fact that he's right there in the midst of every situation we're going through, and he's ready to help us. Connie, I grew up in a church, and maybe you did too, where it was not customary for people to say, praise God, or I bless you, Lord, or for anybody to even say hallelujah. It just wasn't done. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Our church did.
Your church did. Okay.
Yeah, there were a few, you know, they were older gentlemen. I remember one specifically, he was in his 70s.
Yeah.
And everything that was said, he was he didn't stand up, but he was waving his hands, and he reminded me of Bethel's husband, Howard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Howard Goodman. Yeah.
Howard. Yeah.
And so you saw that growing up. But the whole congregation weren't doing that, were they? Praising God.
It was mixed, but he primarily led it.
Okay.
Yeah. But I've been in churches where everybody is just so tied up, you know, they can't breathe. They're so uptight.
Right. Well, I really believe, because I grew up in that, like that, but when I began to see a different side of worshiping God, that it wasn't just standing up and singing three verses of song number 540, you know, but it was spontaneously beginning to praise God and feel that love for God down on the inside of us. When I began to experience that as a preteen, I guess, and began to see that was God loved that when we began to worship and praise God. It began to change everything in me, Connie. I mean, it really did. And David is saying here that he wants us to get to the point where we live and breathe God. If things aren't going well, he said, hear this and be happy. Join me in spreading the news. Together, let's get the word out. And this is, what is it, the word that's needing to get out here? If we look at verse 4, read that again in both translations, verse 4.
I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. That's the NIV.
Okay.
And then the message says, God met me more than halfway. He freed me from my anxious fears.
He freed me from my anxious fears. Number one on how do we get our prayers answered is we've got to prepare our hearts to receive, and we've got to give up the fear that God is not going to answer our prayers. That fear monopolizes people's minds. You know what I'm talking about? It does. It just like, oh, God, this is huge, you know, and I know you're busy, and, you know, it's been the Olympics, so you've been over there, God. So, you know, I know you probably haven't had a lot of time to see about little old me. You know what I'm saying, Connie?
Mm-hmm.
and down inside, a lot of times, we are afraid that if we put out this prayer to God, that God, number one, A, won't hear it. B, he won't care enough to do anything about it. And C, that we're going to look pretty stupid because nothing changes in our lives. And it's like a fear of our prayers not getting answered. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, you know, if you keep doing what you've always done, you always get what you always got.
Oh, yes, that's profound.
I mean, that's kind of like the definition of insanity.
Right.
You know, you keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result.
Exactly. And the thing is, so often people get into these ruts. I'll call it a rut, where it just feels normal to us to be afraid to really pray in faith. And the point one we want to make today on this show is that we're not going to get our prayers answered if we're afraid that God doesn't hear us and or God doesn't care enough to answer. Comment on that, Connie.
Well, I guess I'm just radical because I just think
we
need a radical change in our whole perception, and no better time than now, especially during the Lent period.
Yes.
You know, we're giving up or taking on something, kind of mission or something.
Right.
I'm just kind of thinking that it's a little bit like the Jewish holiday, the Day of Atonement, you know, it's time to wake up and smell the roses.
Yes.
You know, get off what you're doing and make it happen.
Make it happen. Make some changes. You know, I mean, I like what you just said. If we just keep on doing the same old thing the way it's always been, nothing's ever going to change. And again, I agree with you. That's a definition of insanity. That is just saying, all right, I expect for God not to answer my prayers. And I think that a lot of well-meaning, church-going people are in that category, Connie, where they just really, if you push them and they had to take some truth serum and they told you the absolute truth, they really would admit that, well, I'm not sure God can answer that big stuff. You know, like people that come down with cancer or people that have, you know, lost financially or lost a job. I don't know about God supplying things like that. Oh, Connie, it's the faith is the opposite of fear, you know? Go ahead.
Yeah. And you know what? Maybe it's not going to be the answer that you think it should be,
right?
A job that you think you should have. Maybe it's something different. Maybe it's something that's going to make you stretch. Maybe it's something that's going to make you a bigger, better person than what you are, something
right.
different, and help you grow in who you are as a person as well as who you are in God. And, you know, I don't know, I just feel that whole thing about shaking somebody and waking them up. Wake up!
Aware. Become aware. That first song we did, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Become aware that God is there, and he's there for a reason. He's there because he created you. He loves you. God has a plan for your life, but he also wants to answer your prayers. He wants to do that. Connie, you said a minute ago, sometimes people think that God doesn't want to do that. You want to go ahead with what you were saying there?
Well, I think we just get into a funk sometimes that, you know, it's like a downward spiral. You just keep feeding in the negative and you know, nothing's going to change, and you just keep going through the motions of doing what you've been doing, and you don't do anything different.
Right.
And how could you help but think that God's not there, or that he's not going to answer their prayers, because they've beat him into the ground. He's not there. They don't even see him there.
Right.
In the midst of anything.
Exactly.
And it's hard. It's really hard to see him in the midst of your circumstances.
Absolutely.
But he's there.
He is. And the word, you know, Connie, I said this last week on the air, but it bears repeating. So if you have a pen and a paper out there listening, audience, you need to write this down. It didn't come from me. It came from a church billboard that I saw driving when I was working the other day. Feed your faith and your doubts will starve to death. I love that. I love that. Feed your faith and your doubts will starve to death. And the and God's word says that. Scriptural. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The way we get out of this fear, the way we become more aware of God and see him working in our lives is we begin to read the word, and we begin to pray more, and we begin to believe. And as we read, our faith increases. Can you say amen to that, Connie, and has that happened in your life?
Absolutely. And, you know, when you read the Bible is the number one bestseller.
Right.
And nobody reads it. They buy it, but I'm not sure that everybody reads it, you know.
Right.
It's like a reference book.
Right.
That they pull things out of. But if you actually read the stories, and especially if you just want to read about what Jesus did when he was on
right.
earth.
Right. Amen.
And how he healed different people, and how he taught his disciples, how he taught the masses.
Yes.
What he expected, and how to get into heaven, and all of that. You know, it's amazing. And the information that you can take from each of his parables is just...
It's incredible, isn't it? It's just...
Yeah.
Wow, we got to go to station identification. Don't go anywhere, Connie. And in a few minutes, Alice is going to be joining us, too, from Houston.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right, we are back, and you are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. in Clearwater, Florida, and around the globe. And we are glad you have joined us today. We welcome you to go visit our website. It is exciting. It's cool. Our webmaster, Maxine, up in Georgia, has done a fantastic job on it. It was totally revamped a few months back. So go there, visit, find out everything that you can find out about us. Beacon of Hope Ministries, that's an IES on the end of it, .com. Beacon of Hope Ministries. .com. And it tells all the things that we're doing globally, the radio outreach. In fact, I just sent Connie this week up to Georgia about the last 10 radio shows. And those are, Maxine was putting them on the website when I talked to her on Friday. So we've got updated radio shows, recent ones, and people can go and listen. And also, this is a great thing to tell a friend about, don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Some people I know use this as their church service for Sunday.
Exactly. Yes. We have people that write and that call and that say, you know, this is where I go to church, on your radio show. That's it. And, you know, we don't ever make a big plea for money or anything like that, but we do invite people to become a partner with us financially, Connie.
Absolutely.
Do you want to mention that and tell them how to do that on PayPal?
I don't remember which part of the website it's on.
I don't know. Go to the homepage and it'll tell you where to go.
Yeah, if you want to donate.
Yeah, donate. Yeah,
on PayPal. If you want to donate, or if you want to start tithing, or if you want to be a partner in the radio, just go to our website, www.beaconofhopeministries.com, and look at the look for the donation.
Right.
Also, were you going to talk about the DVD coming out?
I have it right here, and actually I realized that I picked up one that doesn't have the DVDs on the inside of it. Doesn't really matter, I guess, but it's our brand new two DVD set from Beacon of Hope Ministries, Out with the Truth, what the Bible says about homosexuality. And we did this about a year ago, did we not?
Yes.
And yeah, I think. And it's taken a little while to get it out, copyrighted. And there's a lot of testimonials on here. There's a lot of really teaching. We did it a 2-day seminar and talked about what Jesus taught. And he taught nothing about this subject. And,
right.
You know, we have that on our website for a $10 plus donation, right?
Right.
Yes. Were you going to say anything more about that?
No, it's just something new. Is it on our website now?
It was going on this weekend. I don't know if it's up yet. If not, it'll be up in the next couple of days. So,
sure.
Yeah.
So they can access it that way.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's exciting, Connie, that we do have partners in this ministry in other states and other countries. And people that listen regularly, like you said a moment ago, and we do welcome people to, you know, become a partner with Beacon of Hope. You know, that's a cool thing to do. And we keep you updated on things that we like. I have two books that are on our website that I've written, and I'm working on book number 3. And the publishing part of Beacon of Hope is growing. We have some other projects coming up this year. So that's all exciting, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And, you know, if this is your church service, don't be ashamed to tithe.
Exactly.
As if it was your...
Absolutely.
As if you were sitting in the pew.
Right. Absolutely. And God will bless you abundantly for it, because this ministry is all about the Word. And our slogan is, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. And that's what it's all about. We are a Word teaching, Word-based, all about the Word ministry. That's what it's about. So let's get, yeah. So as soon as Alice calls in here, we will get her comments on this preparation. Connie, heart preparation, okay? I think so often we just think that we don't really have to take any personal responsibility, you know, any preparation of our own heart, that we don't have to do anything about that we don't have to pray a certain way. You know, we sang a song this morning that I love, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, Open the Eyes of My Heart. I want to see you. You know, when we sing these songs and when we pray those prayers, we are asking God to do something in us to change us. You know what I'm talking about, Connie? What happens with so many people, I think, is they don't really give this whole thing of preparing your heart any serious attention, you know?
Well, they think that because they show up and get marked down as being present
in church,
that's all they have to do.
Right.
You know, those are the ones that have pretty much have just got fire insurance.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
They're just there. They know they're going to heaven, and that's it. They're not interested in doing any of the work. They're not interested in any kind of relationship, really.
Right.
Or a very deep relationship with God.
Right.
And it works for them. And, you know, sometimes that's okay for a little while. But I think that God puts that yearning in your heart if you're willing to let him work on your heart. He'll put that yearning there for you to want more.
Exactly. Absolutely. He does. He seriously does. I was just looking at verse 8, and I think Alice will be joining us here in a minute. Psalm 34, verse 8. And in the Message Bible, David says this, "Open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run to him." All of that is action. Open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see. You know, when somebody, like today, arroz con pollo, you know, when somebody sets a great big, nice, beautiful meal in front of you, you look at it with your eyes and you think, wow, I'd like to eat that. I'd like to taste that. But nobody went around the room today, Connie, feeding each other, did we?
No.
We each fed ourselves, correct? We open our eyes, we see, oh, look at this beautiful dish of food. I want some of that. Oh, I got to do something to get it to my mouth, you know, and into my stomach. You know, and spiritually, David said, open your mouth and taste, open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run to him. Again, that's action. Alice, are you on the air with us?
I'm here.
All right.
Hey, Alice.
Hey, Connie, how are you?
Good.
Doing great.
We miss you, Alice. We miss you. So, yeah. So, have you heard kind of where we are here with this discussion on how to get our prayers answered?
Yeah, you were talking about you were discussing Psalms 34:8.
Yes. Yes. And just about how it takes action, you know, on our part, Alice.
Right.
Don't you think so often that people go through life or they go through their spiritual lives not really doing anything to grow spiritually, not doing anything about this whole topic of getting their prayers answered? They just kind of sit back and complain and say, you know, God's not doing anything in my life. You know? You know what I'm saying?
I think we all do that to some point.
Okay.
You know, I think that, you know, at some point or another, all of us are saying, you know, are wanting a magic potion.
You know,
and saying, okay, God, do this.
Right.
And they've prayed, so now their prayers are going to get answered, right?
Right.
So people don't realize that there's more to requesting something from God than just saying, God, gimme.
Right.
You know, there's more to it. You have to be in line with what, you know, God wants in your life. You have to be in line with his word. You have to be willing to do what he's wanting you to do.
It reminds me, Alice and Connie, of, because when my kids were really little, you know, I had three of them in 4 years, and I remember they were so little, there were times that they would say, I want this, I want this, I want this, you know, and then they yell, and you know how kids are, you know, and they just keep at it, you know, to try to wear you down, you know. I remember being a kid, so I did that same thing, so I understood it, you know, where, you know, please, 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 you know, go to daddy, ask daddy, go to mommy, you know, blah, 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 you know, yelling and just trying to wear a parent down. And the parent says, wait a minute, you know what? You've had enough sugar today. You're hyper as it is. No more sugar. No, the answer is no. So the parent says, I'm not going to answer that. And a lot of times I think we as Christians so often think we know what's best for us. And our Father, our Heavenly Father is going, you know what? No, that is not going to turn out for you the way you think it's going to turn out for you. Do either of you want to comment on that? Connie, you start, and then we'll go to Alice.
Well, it's just, I mean, it's no different than parenting children on Earth.
Right.
You know, they don't have the full picture.
Right.
And parents understand what the consequences are of some choices, and while the child may not, and the parent's trying to protect them. So it's the same thing. I mean, it's the same thing with God. He knows, he has the whole, he has our whole lifetime.
Right.
In that he knows what's going to happen, and he knows the consequences of doing those, you know, whatever it is we think we want. And he tries to very gently tell us no.
And so often,
sometimes the answer is no.
Right. Sometimes it is. And then we get all mad and, you know, frustrated and say, God doesn't love me. And you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Alice, you have a comment on all that?
I agree. You know, there's God knows the big picture, and we don't see it. We see our little piece of the pie.
Right.
We don't see, you know, that what we, our little piece and someone else's little piece and someone else's little piece is making up this entire big picture that you know, is part of the world. And we don't see how God sees it. We see how things affect us.
Right.
We see, you know, we might see a little bit of how things that happen around us affect those that are around us, but we don't see the ripple effect. We don't see how when we drop one little stone in the pond,
mm-hmm.
how those ripples go out and out and out.
Exactly.
And affect so many people. So there could be a very good reason why God is saying no to a specific prayer that you have requested, not because it may not benefit you and that you know, oh, God doesn't want me to be happy. That's not it. It's because he knows the furthest reaching ripple effect, what's going to happen.
Absolutely. And he knows that maybe we're not asking this correctly. We are just basing our prayer on selfish desire and not what is the greatest good for the situation, you know?
Exactly.
You mean like when we ask for the lottery numbers?
Right. Yeah, lottery numbers.
Or when I ask God to move me back to Tampa?
Yeah, why don't we do that, Alice? Why don't we do that?
Okay.
You know what? That is in God's hands, correct? Because we want God to move you back to Tampa.
Right.
Yep. River of My Life. We're going to play this, and then you two stay with me because we're going to get more into this whole topic of preparing our hearts to receive the answers from God. River of My Life, Debbie Selby. And Connie, you know it's one of my favorite songs. What do you want to say about it?
It's just wonderful. But did you notice the last three songs are all water songs?
Yes, I noticed that today.
I noticed it on my way to church today.
And water is symbolic of God's word. Woo. Listen to this song, and then Allison and Connie are going to comment more with us.
Deliverer and King.
I love that song. River of my life, healer of my heart, lifter of my head when I am low, faithful comforter. Says it all right there, what God wants to do for us. Let's go to Psalm 37, and we're going to start with verse 3 in Psalm 37. And it says this in the Message Bible, get insurance with God. That's a good thing. Didn't say John Hancock there. It said, get insurance with God and do a good deed. Settle down and stick to your last. Ooh, settle down and stick to your last. The second point under how to get our prayers answered has to do with persistence, Alice and Connie. It says here, settle down and stick to the last. Keep company with God. Get in on the best. Open up before God. Keep nothing back. He'll do whatever needs to be done. He'll validate your life in the clear light of day and stamp you with approval at high noon. I love that. And I love verse 7. Quiet down before God. Be prayerful before Him. Don't bother with those who climb the ladder, who elbow their way to the top. Okay, let's go back to verse 3 and 4. Get insurance with God and do a good deed. Settle down and stick to your last. Keep company with God. Get in on the best. I want some comments there from either of you. I don't know, Connie, you want to go first? What's in your heart there? What are you seeing?
Well, in the NIV, it says, trust in the Lord and do good.
Yes.
Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture.
Oh, yes.
So it's saying trust in God and do good things.
Right.
And live a good life.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And He'll give you the desires of your heart.
Trusting in Him, you know, and this is going right along with this, how to get our prayers answered is, you know, hanging out with God is what it's talking about here. Keeping company with God, it says in the Message Bible. But I love that in the NIV and the New American Standard, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your understanding and that type of thing. Alice, what you thinking here?
Well, I was reading it along with you in the Message and how it says, you know, stick to your last. And to me, that talks about persistence.
It does, doesn't it?
And yeah, and when you're praying for something, you know, especially when you're asking God specifically for something, so many people say, well, you know, I asked God and it didn't happen.
Right, I agree.
And
yes.
You know, I tell you what, if you were diagnosed, or somebody you know, somebody close to you, your child or what loved one, whatever, was diagnosed with this horrendous disease, right?
Right.
And somebody comes to you and says, you know what, there's this doctor who lives, you know, a mile down the road here, and he's come up for a cure for that. All you have to do is go to his house and knock on his door, and he'll give you the cure, and he'll heal it.
Okay.
Whatever the disease is, right?
Good point. Yeah.
Are you gonna go over there, or first of all, say, "Oh, well, let me see if I can ask so and so to go get that for me."
Right.
Okay.
Good
I'm
point.
I'm gonna ask someone else to ask for me.
Right.
No,
okay.
You're not gonna do that. You're gonna get your happy little person over there, and you're gonna be knocking on the door.
Right.
And you're gonna say, "Okay, you know, okay, I knocked." Mm-hmm. Are you gonna knock one time and say, oh, nobody answered the door. I guess it's not meant for me to get this cure.
Boy, that's a good point, Alice.
No, you're going to pound. pound on the door. You're going to holler, hello. You know, you may wait a bit, see if anybody answers. You'll ring the bell. You know, you'll look through the windows. You'll be rapping on the windows till somebody answers that door.
Right.
And you can get what you need.
Such a good point. But
that's why we need to be in prayer.
But why don't people do that? Why do they just pray and then just say, oh, well, God didn't answer, I back to this, feed your faith and your doubts will starve to death. You know what I'm saying?
I think a lot of it has to do with self-confidence.
Okay.
Or you know, I don't think I'm worth it, or I don't think this issue is big enough for
God. Yes, yes.
You know, and the thing that I try to remind people, especially during the prayer ministry, is, you know, nothing that we request, no need in our life is too small for God to care.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But so often I think that society tells us, and maybe the devil is whispering in our ear too, God's too busy. He doesn't care about that. You know, obviously he's mad at you, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, we all know the devil's a liar. So.
Right. There you go. There you go.
Answer to that right there.
There you go. It is. Connie, do you have a comment on all that?
No, I kind of... I agree with what Alice has said, and you know, just a reminder that the devil hates our guts,
right?
And he'll do whatever he can to make our lives miserable. He'll do whatever he can to ruin us and take from us everything that he can try and take.
Because he does not want you. It says in John 10:10, the thief, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give you life and to give it abundantly. And he steals our victory when we fall into agreement with the devil's lies that say that God doesn't care enough to hear those prayers. You know what I'm saying? Either one of you, comment.
Yeah, that we're not worthy and all that. That email is circling around again about Jesus being our attorney.
Oh,
and
okay.
How he walks up to the judge who is God. You know,
yes.
after we've died, and you know, the devil says this man's a liar, he's a cheat, he's a da 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 da. You know, and Jesus walks up to the judge, and he says, "Hi, Dad."
Right.
And then he says, "You know what? Everything he said is true, but I gave my life for this person."
Amen.
So he deserves to have eternal life.
Exactly.
Because he believes in me.
Exactly. Praise God. I think so often we forget those things. But Alice, you just said the devil is a liar. Do you want to amplify on that?
What we were saying. He doesn't want us to have a close relationship with God.
No, not at all.
You know, he doesn't want us to walk in victory. He doesn't want us to walk in strength. He doesn't want us to be walking throughout the day praising God for the glorious things that he's done in our life and is doing every single day, because he doesn't want us to be happy.
Right.
He wants to steal that joy from us.
Exactly.
He wants us to question our faith.
Right.
He wants us to doubt God's amazing grace.
Exactly. And when we are in all that doubt and that fear, it's very hard for us to get our prayers answered, because we don't, you know, a big aspect of getting our prayers answered is a little five-letter word called faith. And faith is the opposite of fear, right? And when we're in all that fear, our faith is very, very low. It's like a teeter-totter, you know? When the fear is so strong, it holds that faith at bay, you know, and vice versa. But when your faith is really strong, fear's got to take a back seat. Can anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Yeah, go ahead, either one of you. Go ahead, Alice.
When you're scared, when you're unsure,
right?
You tend to dwell on that,
right?
That fear is all encompassing at times.
It is,
and it's hard to get back to that faith of knowing that, you know, everything's in God's hands and God's taking care of it all. You know, it's like the analogy we've used before. You know, when you're standing up in front of a rose bush, you're gonna see is the thorns. It's not until you step back that you can see how this gorgeous rose bush and how much beauty there is despite the thorns.
Right. good point. Oh my gosh, that's a great point. So we've got to prepare our hearts to receive the answer. And one way we do that is we learn to fight fear. And when the fear comes, we recognize it as fear. I mean, how does fear feel? Connie, how does fear feel to you?
Doesn't feel good.
It doesn't feel good?
Mm-hmm.
Does it make your butterflies in your stomach, maybe?
It's sick.
Makes you feel sick? Yeah.
Makes me feel sick. It makes me feel unsure.
Yes.
Whatever confidence I had is gone.
Absolutely. And it absolutely hinders us getting our prayers answered, guys. It does. This next song you have here, Connie, Mike's Chair is singing Let the Waters Rise. We just mm-hmm. said that the water is symbolic of the Word of God in our lives. And the water of the Word has to have a bigger place in our lives. Alice, you say when you're our prayer team captain, and when all these requests come from around the world as they come daily, the requests to you, and you put out a request on email. And by the way, the plug for that is you can send any request, anybody in the world can, to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. It goes straight to you, Alice. And then you put the request out, but what else do you put out?
I put out a prayer.
Why do you put out a prayer?
Well, I put out a prayer for one reason is we all live such busy lives.
Right.
And sometimes you just don't have time to stop and think.
Right.
Okay? And so it's, you know, it helps if you have a prayer right there that's already written out and you can just agree with that prayer.
Exactly.
And I also do it because I want us to be in agreement.
Yes.
I want us all to be agreeing for the same thing because there's power in that.
Amen, amen, amen. Yes. Connie, do you have a comment on that before we go to this song? Let the Waters Rise?
I think it's great. She's right on.
She's right on.
Prayers and everything.
Amen. All right. Let the Waters Rise by Mike's Chair. Alice and Connie, stay with me. We'll be back in a minute. Listen to this great song.
Don't know where to begin. It's like my world's caving in. And I try, but I can't control my fear. Do I go from here? Sometimes it's so hard to pray when you feel so far away, but I am willing to go where you want me to. God, I trust you. There's a raging sea right in front of me, wants to pull me.
good song, Connie. The first line, I can't control my fear. Where do I go from here? Just what we were talking about.
How amazing, isn't it?
It's just always, I just sit here in amazement at God's Holy Spirit, how he directs our conversation. We don't plan these radio shows. I simply give you guys a general theme of where we're going. And sometimes I give you scriptures we're going to use. And then sometimes the Holy Spirit changes those right in the middle of the show. And, you know, I didn't have any idea we were going to be talking about fear this much. But this is one of those things that keeps us from getting our prayers answered, guys. And I like that song. That was good. Let the waters rise. God's word has got to rise up within us. And as it does, everything yucky has got to take a backseat. Michelle Cardinal likes to call it ickiness, all the ickiness in our lives, the fear and the doubt and the worry and the insecurities and all that. I'm looking at Psalm 37, then I want you two to comment here with me. Verse 5 again, and it says this, open up before God, keep nothing back. He'll do whatever needs to be done. He'll validate your life in the clear light of day and stamp you with approval at high noon. I love that. I'm going to have one of you read it in, Connie, do you have the NIV? Okay, and before you do, let's read verse 7 too. Quiet down before God. Be prayerful before him. Don't bother with those who climb the ladder, who elbow their way to the top. And then verse 8, bridle your anger, trash your wrath, cool your pipes. It only makes things worse. And before long, the crooks will be bankrupt. God investors will soon own the store. Now, that is verse 5 through 9. I love it in the Message Bible. Connie, why don't you read it in the NIV, and then Alice, I want you to prepare to comment as soon as Connie reads those verses, 5 through 9.
Okay. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord. Wait and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil.
Amen. Wow. Alice, comment on any of that. These are things that keep us from getting our prayers answered. Go ahead.
Well, the first part of it, open up before God, keep nothing back. How many times, and I know I've done this, so I'm assuming other people have done this too, how many times do we go before God in prayer and not mention something because, number either we're embarrassed or
okay, good
we don't
point.
Want to tell God about it.
Right.
You know, he already knows. He was there when it happened.
Exactly.
You know, so tell him how it is.
Right.
Talk to him. Have that level of communication open where mm-hmm. he is sitting right next to you. He's your best friend, and you're just chatting, and you're saying, man, I can't believe I did this. I really messed up. You know, I need help fixing it.
Right. Yes.
You know, and so you can't be, a lot of times we're afraid to admit that we've messed something up.
Right.
You know, there's that fear thing again.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, sometimes we're afraid to admit that we've messed something up, but we have to remember God already knows.
Amen.
You know, he was there when we messed it up.
Right.
You know, so you're not telling him something he doesn't already know.
Yep, good
but
point.
But what you're doing when you tell him is that you're admitting the mistakes that you've made.
Absolutely.
You know, and then that opens up for you and God to work together to fix the situation.
Exactly. And so what you're saying right there, and I think it's a great point on getting our prayers answered here, is we need to be honest before God. We need to be open and transparent. Is that what I hear you saying, Alice?
Yes, exactly.
Connie, before Alice goes on with that, do you have a comment on that point right there, being open and honest?
He already knows everything about us.
Right.
So, I think it's good that we humbly present what we've done
right.
to him. And it just kind of puts things in I think it puts our heart in a better perspective.
Exactly.
To hear from him.
Absolutely. We admit it. Go ahead, Alice, with what other comments you wanted to make on those few verses.
Well, one of them also was verse 7, where it says, quiet down before God, be prayerful before him.
Right.
You know, that kind of, to me, that's saying, okay, you know, we've got all this stuff going on in our lives. You know, we've got, you know, Aunt Susie who needs us to do such and such and such and such, and we got our work that's demanding this time from
right.
us. And, you know, we've got our kids and we've got our family, and then, you know, oh, we got to feed the dog. You
right.
know, we've got all these demands on our life.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, God is there quietly waiting for us.
Exactly.
So this tells me that perhaps we need to take a few minutes out of our busy day
right.
to just calm down, take a few deep breaths, and say, hey, God, how's it going?
Exactly.
This is what's going on with me. These are some of the things that I'm having difficulty dealing with. Help me through this. Thanks for being there. And then, you know, you go on. And you, yes, you still have all these demands, but that took, what, 3 minutes?
Right.
To really just sit down and calm down and have this conversation with God and open up that lines of communication. I know we've talked so much about this before, that it's important to have that communication with God in order to establish that relationship.
Absolutely. And when we do that and we say, God, here's what's going on and here's what I'm feeling, then I think we become more aware, and I want you both to comment on this, more aware during the day when we see that God did work something out. When we don't take the time to sit down and say, okay, here it is, man, I don't know how I'm going to get through this today, God, then we're not as aware of the answer when it comes. Connie, do you have a comment on that? And then Alice, I'll go back to you.
Well, I think when we talk to God, he keeps things in perspective and he helps us keep things in perspective. And then as things happen throughout the day, I think that when you have that relationship also, you just feel like you're just talking to him all day long.
Mm-hmm.
So when something happens that you do get your answer to something that you've asked for, it's pretty obvious where it came from.
Exactly. I think
and,
it makes it more,
you know, you just,
yeah.
It, you just get into the habit of, you know, thanking God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for doing this for me. And, you know, it just becomes common practice.
It becomes a way of life, don't you think?
Yeah.
A way of living
yeah.
every day, more aware. We started the show with that song, Connie, and we're coming back to that concept. One
uh-huh.
of the reasons we don't get our prayers answered, I think, a lot of times is because we're not even aware of what we need to be asking. We're not even asking. And so when God is in the middle of our situations working them out, we're just not even in tune with it. Alice, I want your comment on that.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, when we have a relationship with God, it's easier for us to see how he's working in our lives.
Right.
You know, it's like a relationship with anybody. You know, if you sit two kids in a room, one's your kid and one's some stranger's kid from five streets away, it's going to be easier for you to understand what's going on with if both kids are misbehaving, it's easier for you to understand what's going on with your own kid,
right?
How they're thinking, and
that's
why they
true.
Might be acting in the way that they're acting,
right?
As opposed to a complete stranger's kid.
That's right.
You don't have you haven't established a relationship there,
mm-hmm.
so you can't see. Okay, well, maybe you know this kid always pitches a fit when he's you know dropped his toy or whatever.
Right.
You don't know. You don't understand the situation or the thinking, how that child thinks. And it's the same thing with God. If you don't understand, if you don't have that relationship and understanding of how God works and
amen.
You know, the pattern of how God moves in your life.
Yes.
You're not going to see it when it happens.
That is so true. Connie, do you want to comment on that?
I think she's pretty much covered it.
Yeah. Okay, she did. She did. Because I think so often when we're not looking for it, we just miss it altogether. And God is sitting yeah. over there going, hey, I just did this for you, and I just did this. And we don't even see it. You know, maybe other people see it sometimes, and we don't. Because we're not taking that time, verse 7, Alice, quiet down before God, be prayerful before him. Verses 8 and 9, bridle your anger, trash your wrath, cool your pipes. It only makes things worse. What are we talking about here? Do our emotions have anything to do with us not getting our prayers answered? Connie, you go first.
Well, it says refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil.
Right.
You know, when you're angry, you say things you shouldn't say, and they get your heart all twisted up. And if your heart's not right, you're not going to get answers to your prayers.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what we've just been covering over and over. So
it
just all falls into the same line. If you're doing something that makes your heart not right, or hate you makes you feel hateful or want revenge on somebody,
well,
you need to pray to get rid of that.
Well, speaking of that, and then Alice, I want your take on this. I'm flipping over quickly to Mark 11:22-25, and here's what it says. Jesus said this, Mark 11:22. Embrace this God life. Really embrace it, and nothing will be too much for you. This mountain, for instance, just say, go jump in the lake. I love this in the Message Bible. Whatever mountain you all are facing out there today, here's what Jesus is saying. You can get to the point that you can say to that mountain, go jump in the lake. No shuffling or shilly-shallying. I'm not even sure what that is. And it's as good as done. In other words, don't be him-hauling around and saying, well, I know this awful thing's happening, but it's just the way it is. It's my poor life. I'm so depressed. I'm so awful. God doesn't love me. Jesus is saying, take your authority here. Say to that mountain, go jump in the lake. Don't be just going, I don't know. And it says, include everything as you pray. Wait a minute, I skipped a line. That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything. Now, wait a minute. This is Jesus talking. I urge you to pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to large. Include everything as you embrace this God life, and you'll get God's everything. And when you assume the posture of prayer, remember that it's not all asking. If you have anything against someone, forgive. Only then will your Heavenly Father be inclined to also wipe your slate clean of sins. Oh my, Alice, your turn.
Wow.
Whoa.
We don't just have to ask God for everything and it happens?
No, there's some conditions here, right?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This is why it's so important to have that relationship with God.
Amen. Amen.
And to have that daily prayer time with and daily communication. If you've already been having this daily conversations with God,
right,
and established this relationship, He already knows. You've already talked about a lot of stuff that's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
So when the big stuff happens,
mm-hmm.
You don't have to sit there and say, oh, Lord, I need help with this. But you remember back then, I did such and such, and so forgive me for that. And 3 years ago I did such and stuff, so I want you to forgive me for that.
Right.
Forgive me for this. Because you've already had that conversation.
Yes, you don't have to play catch-up.
So you don't have to play catch-up, exactly.
Right, yeah.
And I can't emphasize enough that, you have to have this relationship. You have to be in communication with God constantly.
Right.
Because when the big stuff comes around, think about it. Okay, think about this. Something major happens. You have to go ask someone for help.
Right.
Right? Are you going to feel more comfortable going to your best bud who knows all of your garbage and knows all
good
the good
point.
Stuff about you
yes.
and knows everything already to go and ask that person for help? Or are you going to walk up to a complete stranger and say, hello, my name is, and this is who I am, and this is what I'm all about, and I need help with this?
Good point. And that's a huge reason a lot of people don't get their prayers answered, Alice, is because they have no relationship with God on a daily basis or an hourly basis or whatever. It's like he's a stranger to them. He's somebody that they hear about or know about, but they don't know him, right?
Exactly, exactly. And I'm not saying that God doesn't answer the prayers of people
right.
that don't communicate with him on a daily basis, because he does.
Because he does.
And it's amazing, you know, how those people, their faith grows when he does move like that.
Right.
You know, but, you know, I'm not saying it's a surefire way to get your prayers answered, because, you know, sometimes you may not like how God answers them. But, you know, if you stay in communication with God, more than likely what you're asking for is already what's in line with God's will.
Oh, boy, that's huge. That is huge.
And so, you know, more than likely it's something that he's going to act on and answer.
And you get to the point you're able to walk on the water like Peter, right?
Right.
Because he was walking with him, he was talking to him, he knew, and when that opportunity came, what did Peter do? He stepped out of the boat. Connie, you put this next song on for a reason. Walk on the water, it fits perfectly right here. Only amazingly. Here it is again, fitting perfectly. Tell us about this song.
This song is a new singer, Britt Nicole, and it's a little bit more pop sounding. But she just talks about faith. And
okay.
You can walk on the water if you just have the faith.
Ooh, let's hear it. And then Alice and Connie will come back here and wrap all this up.
You look around and staring back at you. Another wave of doubt. Will it pull you under? You wonder.
Song. What are you waiting for? Get out there on that water and believe God for the things you need in your life. That is what we are saying here. God wants to answer your prayers. Get out there on that water like he told Peter. Come on, you can do this. And Peter stepped out, and then when his eyes were off of Jesus, what happened? He began to sink. Oh, wow. I want your comments, Connie and Alice. Connie, go first. I like that song. That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like what I've just been saying all along is, what are you waiting for? What do you have to lose?
Right.
Just try it.
Yes.
Just try it.
Yes. Get in there. Jump in there. You, Ghani, mm-hmm. you're always saying that people have a God-shaped hole in their heart, ready for God to fill. And you found that to be true in your life, haven't you?
Yes, absolutely. There's nothing that filled it before he filled it.
Exactly. Whoa. All right. Alice, are you there? We lose her? Okay. All right, maybe she'll call back. Okay.
Not sure what that was.
No, I don't know. Is that you, Connie? Okay. All right, yeah. Maybe Alice will call back here. We just lost her. So what we're saying, Connie, is there are all these things that try to keep us from getting our prayers answered. They are things like fear, doubt, worry, our emotions getting out of control, you know, the times in our lives when we just don't reach out to God. We just instead we stew and we fret and we get all upset and we tell 55 friends, you know, and we're just all consumed by the issues in our lives. And God is saying he really wants to answer our prayers. That's what I'm hearing. Alice, are you there?
I am here now. I missed that last part. Sorry.
Okay, that's all right. We were talking about that song, Walk on the Water, but how God wants to answer our prayers, Alice, that we get so bogged down by the fears and the doubts and the anger in our lives and the unforgiveness. And Jesus said, you're not going to get your prayers answered if you walk around in a whole lot of unforgiveness. And that's a whole nother show. But I'll tell you, that whole thing, our emotions, can keep us from getting our prayers answered. Do you want to comment on all that?
I completely agree that, you know, we so often let our emotions get in the way of our
right.
relationship with God, you know, whether it be fear or anger or just misunderstandings all around, you know,
right.
We so often let those feelings get in the way with our relationship with God.
Exactly.
And we need to learn to, like I've been saying, just communicate with him on a daily basis.
Amen.
And it's okay. Know that it's okay to have the emotions that you're having. Know that it's okay to be angry with God.
Right.
Know that it's okay to not understand what he's doing or why things are happening
Good point.
The way they're happening.
Yes.
But also know that he sees the big picture.
Amen.
And,
Amen.
And, you know, he wants nothing but good
Yes.
for you.
He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Yes.
He wants nothing but good for you, and you may not understand it right now, but, you know, he has a plan. And
Amen.
I feel so strongly in that. You know, I don't know why God has me back here in Houston right now.
Right.
You know, I so feel that I should be there in Tampa. I don't understand why I'm in Houston other than, you know, this is where my job is.
Right.
So, you know, I have to trust that God's got a plan.
Right. Exactly.
I don't know what that is. I don't understand it, but I have to trust that he's got a plan and he's going to work all this together for good.
Amen.
You know, I was flipping through my Bible, and I actually came across a verse that we had discussed previously, Pastor, in John 15.
Right.
Mm-hmm. 5 through 8, we talked about the keys to answered prayer.
Right.
And it says, if you make yourself at home with me,
Amen.
And my words are at home in you, then you can be sure that whatsoever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. You can be sure.
Amen. I love
sure.
that. Yes.
So, you know, just talk to God, read his word, you know, get yourself in tune with how he thinks and how he does things. Know it's okay to have those emotions and those fears and those not necessarily misunderstandings, but not understanding.
Right.
You know, and communicate with him about that. Let him know how you're feeling, even though he knows. He needs to hear it, just like your best buddy would like to know how you're feeling about it.
Amen.
You know?
Woo, that's good stuff. Connie, do you have a final thought? And then, Alice, I'm coming back to you about the prayer ministry because I want you to tell people how they can get more involved. Connie?
Okay.
I think that I really want to walk on the water.
Oh, there you go.
Someday.
Amen.
Soon. And it's not easy.
Yes.
It's not easy to keep,
it's not easy to not let the outside influence happen.
Right.
But you just have to keep your eye on the prize.
Amen. Wow. That's great. That's a great way to sum this up. And that's Hebrews 12, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and getting our prayers answered. We're going to talk more about this in the next couple weeks. But we will see tremendous answers to prayer this year. We already are. Alice, you want to comment on the prayer ministry?
I think my comment is, wow.
Yes, yes.
You know, there's so many awesome things that are happening with the prayer ministry. If people want to send in prayer requests or they want to be on the prayer team, they just send an email to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com.
Right.
And, I mean, we've prayed for all sorts of things from, you know, job issues to health issues to relationship issues, you know, and we're seeing God move in people's lives, which is really awesome.
It is.
You know, we've got people all the way from Houston and Florida to Alabama. I know we go Chicago. There's Indiana. People all over the place. Georgia.
On the prayer team, yes.
Yeah, that are on the prayer team and that prayers are being answered, and it's just amazing to see how God is working.
Amen.
You know, if you want to build your faith and you don't necessarily want to be, you don't want to do a lot of work. Okay, this is an easy way to build your faith.
There you go.
Part of this prayer team, because you're going to see the prayer requests coming in, and then you're going to see the praise reports.
That's right.
And you're going to see how God is moving, and you can't help but for your faith to grow.
Woo! Amen. Let that be.
That's really a good point, Alice.
Yes, it is. It is, and that will teach you, and you'll see the answers to prayer. Connie and Alice, I love you both. You're wonderful prayer warriors, and you're wonderful radio team members, and I thank you both today. And for all of you out there that have joined us today on Living the Good Life, tell a friend about Sundays at 4:30 Tampa time. We have a 90-minute show live every week, and we wait on God to find out what He wants to teach, and that's what we do. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, find out all about us, and you can send your prayer requests in to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. And we welcome you to our services if you're in the Tampa Bay area, Sunday morning at 11, Wednesday night, incredible, powerful Bible study at 7 p.m. God bless you. Have a great week. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister with my buddies Connie and Alice, and we have been enjoying the Word of God together today. God bless you. Have a great week, and it's not far to Jesus. It's not fun.